Our Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you so much for songs that have been written, for people wrote from the heart. Amen. And they know, Lord, that there's a message in it. It comes from the depth of one's soul as they rejoice in the things that God has done for them. So we thank you for that tonight. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for these who turned aside the things of the world to come to the house of God tonight. We pray that we can leave, saying it's been good to be in your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Turn to Mark chapter 1 with me, if you will, and Mark chapter 9. These are the two. I'm going to preach on a little two-letter word tonight. It blesses my heart as I look at this word and these verses of Scripture. Now, I want to show you the comparison of the two. If you look in Mark chapter 1 and read down about verse 40, you'll see where Jesus heals a leopard. Look at what is said by the leopard in verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, watch what he says now, in a question and a statement, if thou will, he's talking to Jesus, if thy will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 9. And look with me with about, down about verse 9, about 21 through 24. We come to another situation where Jesus is been transfigured up on the mount. Down in the valley, there's a man who has a son who has a dumb spirit, according to verse 17. The disciples were not able to heal this young man. And now as Christ comes down off the mountain, and we pick up the story in verse 21, and Jesus now asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And his father said, Since of a child. And oft times it had cast him into the fire and to the waters to destroy him. But what's this now? But if, there's that word again, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now watch the word if back in verse 40 of chapter 1. If thou will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. But what's the word if now? This man says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if, there it is again, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people were coming running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, said unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee to come out of him. And I like this, not only did he charge him to come out, and he had to come out. The dumb spirit had no choice. He had to come out. But when Jesus said, I charge you, come out from him, and watch these words, and enter no more unto him. There ain't no way in the world he could ever got back to that guy. No way in this world he could ever done it. And I want to talk to you a few minutes on this word, if. If. Our English word sets forth the word if as a condition or qualification for something. If I'd been there, I'd done this. If I'd have known this, I'd have done this. If I'd have known that, I'd have went another way. It is a condition or a qualification for something. The Greek word is a prime participle of conditional conditions. That is, it is if and setting forth a condition. In Mark 1 and Mark 9, as a matter of fact, in Mark 1, it denotes uncertainty, which comes from the root word, goes back to the word in Mark 9. Mark 9 and Mark 1 is a different word, but Mark 1, the word if, goes back to Mark 9. both of them setting forth, if a participle of conditionality, it is denoting uncertainty. But what's the difference between the two? And I like this because I'm seeing some things. Sometimes I hear people say, I believe God, and boy, everything's going to take care of that. And to some degree, we do. But then when the worst happens, it throws us. That's what happened to this man. You see, when the leper came to Christ, and he made this particular statement, if thy will, thou canst make me whole, clean. Jesus said, I will. But the man with the dumb, with the son with the dumb spirit, he had already brought his son to the disciples. So that says to me, he believed that Jesus Christ could heal him. But he also knew the disciples followed him, had power from him. And he had gone to them, and they couldn't do anything about it. They could not help the man. I would imagine that kind of shook his faith, don't you? And then he comes to Christ, and instead of being like the first man, if thou again will, you can. But he says this in verse 22, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on me and help us. Instead of saying, I will, Jesus said, he comes back with another if. He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, I want to look at this word if just a moment. Christ's if in verse 23 is in response to the man's if in verse 22. We know the first man knew that he could. We know that his words were in such a way that if I will, I know you can do it. If it's your will to do so, I know you can do that. You can make me clean. So we come to this person, though, and we see a little variation there. He comes and he says, again, if thou canst do anything to help us, please have compassion on us. And then Jesus says, if thou canst believe. You see, faith and unbelief is found in the same heart here. And I'd bet you, if I could see the heart like God sees in this auditorium tonight, you'd find the same thing. There's faith, but there's a little doubt once in a while when God doesn't come at the speed of our prayer. When God doesn't answer the moment we ask it. Satan lies around like a wounded animal, just waiting for that time he can break through the spiritual fence of our lives and get us to wonder whether God would do it or not do it. Oh, we say we know he will. Or we say we know he can. But if he delays it, we doubt it just a little bit. That's all Satan cares. Because he knows if he can get us to doubt one little bit about anything in our lives that God has said or that he would do, then he's got us that little bit towards doubting God on anything. And so as I look at this, it's a great help. Faith and unbelief is found in the same heart. Here is where the warfare goes on. Sometimes I wonder if Christians even believe they got a warfare. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved tonight, you got a warfare going on. And I'll tell you, I don't care who you are, if you're saved, if you're truly born again, and you start trying to do something God says not do, you're going to find a warfare there. God is great enough in us not to let us just enjoy something when he said not do it. Someone said, well, I can do it, don't ever bother me. That's a sign you're not saved then. If you're born into the family of God, you will find yourself being worried. God will not leave us alone to let us do something he says not do. And I'll tell you this, the reason he won't leave us alone, he loves us too much. He understands the reality of what he's doing versus where we're at. Now, here is where we call upon the Lord for help. When the warfare goes on, Father, I know that thou can do this, but help me in my unbelief. Help me, God, in my unbelief. If it's one little doubt at all, help that be erased. I have no idea in my mind that God can do beyond anything I think imagine. Just like he said in the book of Ephesians. I believe with all my heart he can still raise the dead. I pray that a lot in hospitals around different places. There is absolutely nothing that God cannot do when it comes to you and I. Someone said, well, you know, To be sure, there are some things he cannot do, and there'll be names some off the wall that don't even make sense. No, he can do anything he wants to do anytime he wants to do it. He's God. The child's father had said, if thou canst do anything, in verse 22, notice, the weakness lies with the father, not Christ. If thou could do anything, he says, have compassion on us. The weakness is not Christ. Christ can do anything. As a matter of fact, he said, if thou believest, all things are possible to him that believeth. So the weakness here is not on Christ. The weakness here is not the Holy Spirit. The weakness here is not God. The weakness is here. And by the way, I'm glad God lets me see a person like this because it shows me how we are. And it helps me to understand if I come to a place sometimes that I hadn't quite got it together because of pain or whatever it may be, it's a sure sign that God is still dealing with me and making me to trust Him more. And He doesn't mind sometimes when I'm reasoning things out if I go to Him for the answer. You don't tell me if you face a calamity, it will throw you. In your mind, you may think and believe and say, God, it's in your hands, and it may be true, but you and I are human when it comes to life. And you're going to have more than just the thought. You're going to have the Word of God to back it up. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing in this world like the Word of God. Amen. I went through the Scriptures and typed out a bunch of Scriptures I've had on my desk for weeks now. And I try to memorize them and I forget them and I cry and say, God, I don't understand it. These are verses of Scripture that helps me. And every time I try to come back and remember them, I can't remember them, save my life. And the thought came to me the other day, that's a good reason you got a typewriter. And I type them out, so I just read them off. And I read them all. Two or three of them I've learnt and memorized completely. But I'm saying to you, it's the Word of God in our hearts that brings us to realization when everything's all right in the house of God, when you're serving Him. Now, this child's father said, if thou canst do anything. The weakness lies with the Father, not Christ. And Jesus comes back and said, he says, if thou canst believe. And I may read between the lines here, as Jesus has said, it is not if I, but it's if thou canst believe. It ain't a question whether Jesus can do it or not. Amen? There's no question here that Jesus can't do what this man's asked him to do. And so when Jesus comes back in verse 23 and says, if thou canst believe, he is saying, it is not if I, but it's if thou canst believe. There is no doubt about what Jesus can do. Faith is our hands to take what God offers. The difficult here is not Jesus. The same is true with salvation. Same is true with anything in our lives. My Bible verse down through the years after I was saved years ago is found in Philippians 14, verse 13. And also where God shall supply our needs, I think 19. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The difficult is not in the things, so to speak, because Christ can control that. The difficult is not in Christ. The difficult is where you and I allow something to belittle what God has said, and we're creatures that can do that from time to time. In Christ, the difficult vanishes away. Whatever the difficult could be, vanishes away. With all the gospel teaching that surround us, please hear this. With all the gospel teaching that's around us, nothing is so misunderstood as faith in Jesus Christ. You'd be surprised at what people believe. If I just believe in His name, that's it. No, if you believe in His name, then that's just knowledge. There's got to be more than head knowledge in Christ. You're going to be surprised at people that go to hell, say they believe in Him, it's only head knowledge. Because if you have head knowledge, you can learn anything in education. And you can study His history of Christ and know His education. You've got to have a heart change. You've got to have a new birth. There's more to it than just head knowledge. Head knowledge is good so we can go towards Him when the Holy Spirit draws us. But it's got to be more than just knowing about Him. You have to know Him personally. And when the gospel is teaching around us, many things are misunderstood about Jesus Christ. It is easy to say, I believe, when you have no sense of your sin. It's easy to say that I believe when there's no sense of danger. It's easy for me, and I found this out so many times, in trying to encourage others in situations when I don't feel the sense of the same danger. But I'll tell you this, when you sense the danger, it's a lot more, it's more than just saying the words. God's got to show something beyond that, and He will do that. He'll speak to you in the hours when no one else is around. When you come to Him in a way rather than just table grace prayer. When you come to Him not just saying grace somewhere or another. You come to Him in agony and supplication. And God Almighty then speaks to your heart. Boy, that's when you know He's real. He gives you a peace. He may not change the circumstances, but He gives you a peace that you didn't have when you first entered into the circumstances. We missed out on how God operates. We've been told so instant that He can do things. And by the way, He can. And He may. But if He does not, it doesn't mean that He's not in still control. And I love that. I believe we face many things in life for us to teach us that in this life. It's easy to say to Christ that Christ can save from sin when you not see the need of salvation yourself. And somebody say, oh, you say, you believe Christ can. Oh, yeah, I believe Christ can save from sin. But do you believe it? Well, not yet. Well, you really don't believe it then. Because you don't understand what sin is. You don't see no need to be saved from it. You can't save a drowning man unless he knows he's drowning. You try to save a drowning man, he'll knock you in the head and swim back to shore. But you, if he knows he's drowning, he may try to drown you to keep from drowning. Amen? So again, it's easy to say to Christ that, you know, you can't save from sin when you don't see the need of salvation. But when you come to Him and say, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against light. I've sinned against knowledge. I've sinned against love and mercy in trouble and in deed. And I believe from my heart that Jesus can save and will save. And you put your hand and yourself in His hands. That brings to the door and beyond in salvation. It's not just head knowledge. It is something that goes much lower than that. Will you accept Him? Yes, I will. Not only would I accept Him, because if I truly accept Him, then I'll be committed to Him. And I'll commit myself to Him as He speaks to my heart. As He speaks to my heart about salvation, I'll respond to that. Then as He speaks to my heart about commitment, I'll respond to that. He speaks to my heart about service, I'll respond to that. You see, I had to respond to get saved. And I had to respond to be committed. And I had to respond to serve. It just don't get saved, all of a sudden things happen automatically. A lot of times, just responding to salvation and not responding to anything else may mean that you didn't respond right to salvation. And I might have not responded right to salvation. What does believing in Christ mean? It does not mean to work for approval. It doesn't mean doing penance. I'm sorry, the religions that teach that. It is being satisfied with God's word alone and committed to Him. Now, I'm not speaking to those who reject God's word. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about us who are saved. This is for us tonight as children of God to realize that there is a walk with Him that many times we may not walk the walk like we should until something comes in our lives to draw us closer to Him. I'm talking about those who trust Christ, know Him as Savior, who believe in His deity rather than deny in His deity. Those who deny His deity, I understand their position. I can deal with them. I can deal later with them. If they deny Him, I know what they need. They need the gospel. A person who denies Jesus Christ needs the gospel. That's all they need. Just the pure, old, simple, pure gospel. But now we've been saved. Thank God we heard the gospel. That got us in. But we need more now just to rehearse of the gospel. We need to rehearse so we don't forget it. So we can give it to others. But ladies and gentlemen, we need more than that. We need to get out of the playpen where the gospel brought us as a child of God and get into the field where God would have us to serve Him in that area. So I want to speak to us tonight. Now let's speak to those who believe God's word but have never discovered childlike trust in Him for everything. I'll tell you this, once you face something, then God's Holy Spirit will speak to you and cause me to respond. But the thing about it, what worries me as a pastor, and will worry you if you study this book, most Christians don't study the Word of God. So what they hear in all these voices that's coming from every angle religiously. So when we face a crisis, we try to go and claim something someone has said rather than claiming what God has said. And ladies and gentlemen, it's leading us into a generation of doubters. I don't care what you think. There's a lot of things in charismatics going on nowadays about God doing things that God's not doing. And sooner or later, people are going to wake up and say, hey, there's something wrong with this. Maybe God don't even exist. I'm talking about something where God works through to, you know, in turn so that we can learn to walk with Him. Give me three quick things. This man had faith, but it was a weak faith compared to the man over in Mark chapter 1. Note the difference between the lepers in Mark 1:40 and this man's son in Mark chapter 9. This man believed that Jesus could heal his son, or I don't believe he'd brought him to him to start with. Would you at least say amen to that? He had to come a long ways. He believed that Jesus could help his son. But when he got there, and those who were followers of Christ who had power from him to do such as this, could not help this man, could not help this son. And so, he had faith, but he didn't have perfect faith. The powerless disciples weakened his faith further. Their failure to cause a temporary eclipse in his faith. And I believe the same principle right here is going to take place in our day. There's a lot of faith healers doing the same thing today that this man had here when the disciples could not help him. It caused him to doubt a little further when he approached Christ who could help him. And here's the thing about it in our day. There are people been, no doubt, brought to a point who looked to someone who they thought God could heal them, and God did not heal them. What do you think they think? Most of the time, if he's not healed, they say it's your fault. You don't have enough faith, you know, this, whatever it is, must be. But what's it going to do to, hey, there's thousands of people going places to be healed that are not being healed. What's it going to do to their faith in the God who's reaching them first through the gospel and through this precious word that you hide in your heart that he can work with? The Holy Spirit works with the Word of God in our heart. He's ordained to do just exactly that. And so here, these powerless disciples weaken his faith, no doubt. Thank God, even a feeble faith can receive a great Savior. A poor faith can. It don't take great faith to see Christ as one Savior. If one will trust Christ, I say that because I'll be honest with you, I knew absolutely nothing other than the fact that Jesus saved when I got saved. Well, nothing, absolutely nothing. And when it comes to faith in the Scriptures, I believe the Word of God, but I believed it because a person quoted it, and when I trusted Christ as my Savior, it was simple faith. Sometimes it's so simple that I get thinking, go back, and I wonder if I said the right thing. Do you ever do that? You say, well, preacher, oh, yeah, do you remember precisely? I remember when I got saved. I remember when I pulled out, I heard the gospel message. I remember all about this in my mind clearly. But sometimes I think when I get to a certain place, Lord, if I didn't say exactly the right thing, I don't even remember what all I did say. I know I knew what Romans said. Boy, I'm glad I got the Word of God. Brother and sister, without the Word of God, do you remember exactly what you said 50 years ago? But I'm glad I got the Word of God. And I'm glad I knew what the Word said, at least was read to me. And I know when the question was asked and I believed that, I said yes. Simple thing. But thank God, the simplicity that God gave to me, I didn't have to have no more than just the simplicity when He saved me. Now He's began to develop it even more that I may understand what has happened in our lives, you see. And see, we'll do the same for you. A child can have, and this is an amazing thing, a child can have a title to an heir as a grown material person. A child now can be entitled to an heir, even as a grown, mature person, but not much faith in possessing it. He may not even know he has it, because he don't come affected until he gets of age. And that's the same thing about us. The perfecting of possession, what we got, is going to come when we stand in the presence of God. The only assurance of that we have today is the Word of God. Don't you see why the world is trying to rewrite this book? They can't destroy it, so they rewrite it. Because if you rewrite it and take away the meaning that God said, He won't honor it. He only honors His Word. And when His Word is hidden in our heart, He has something to work through us in this life. Salvation is of faith, that it might be of grace, Romans 4:16 tells us. The authority that we receive from Christ must be exercised by faith. That faith must be cultivated by God's Word. That faith must be cultivated by spiritual discipline and devotion. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith in Christ, hear this, our faith in Christ and in God's Word glorifies God. Because we believe Him. I believe it blesses the heart of God for His children to say, I may not understand it all, but I believe it. Because God said it. I want you to notice something too here, that Jesus said, if thou canst believe. Note, it is not if you do not believe. He didn't say that. Notice this. He said, if thou canst believe. He didn't ask them, do you not believe? Because Jesus already knew they had some doubt before He asked. Again, if thou canst do anything. Well, He brought His Son to start with to find Christ. Certainly He had some reason to believe that Christ could do it. But the disciples had brought available to faith because they couldn't do it in His name. And now Jesus comes back to him. And He doesn't say, if you do not believe, but if thou canst believe in verse 23. What can God do? The text does not say, watch this, folks. He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. The text does not say, all things are given to him. There's a lot of things nowadays that people come in and willing to excerpts of God's Word and rewriting it to get fame now and put the responsibility on the person who's believing rather than the person who's telling what to do. Jesus said here that He didn't say all things are given to Him, but that all things are possible. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Do you understand what I'm saying? That means, God, I've come to You in prayer. I believe for the death of my soul. I find the Scriptures. I claim the promises. And dear God, when I come to You, I realize that all things are possible. But it doesn't mean that all things are given to me right now. And the fact it's possible gives me an upper hand to trust Him more. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I said this morning, if all things are possible, then what He don't do now, He's going to do better later. If. Lord, I do believe. I believe You can hear my child. That's what I see Him saying. The father of the child cried out and shed tears. He won't shed tears with the disciples. Lord, I believe. I like that. Lord, I believe You can hear my child as I read this. I don't know why. I don't know how. Just give me clear knowledge. Give me help. Help my unbelief. It isn't that I don't believe You can, but there's something there a little bit shaded that I can't quite understand as of yet. And because of that, I cry out, I believe You can, but yet there's a little bit of shadow of doubt. I pray that You help my unbelief. And I believe God rushes to that. He said, there's our child that's honest with me. He's not putting on a style. He's not putting on a pious way. Holier than thou, thinking that everything. He's just a human being down to this earth who literally understands he's not got it all figured out. And he needs me. She needs me. More than anything else in this world. This man here, God blessed him. Today, we believe the doctrine of the Trinity, 3 in 1. I can't make a practical, understandable condition for that, for people to understand it all the time. So I try to explain it, and I've lost the words. And when I'm explaining it, though I believe it, sometimes I have to say, Lord, since I cannot explain it satisfactorily, help me if there be any unbelief in what I'm trying to explain. I can't make it practical understanding, but help me in my unbelief. This man had faith that was weak. The second thing, all believers have faith, yet some are visited with doubt. I think he's showing this. I think this is something where a man is honest before God and said, Lord, I just don't understand everything, but I trust you. I go back to Psalm 31 again, like David. Questions arise. Mentally and bodily help fails at times. Sometimes these things affect our assurance. Sometimes they affect our thinking. Your household is troubled by uncontrolled circumstances. Some troubles we bring upon ourselves. Some troubles are put upon us by the power beyond us or allowed to come our way. And we try to analyze it and search it out. Many times we can't come up with an answer. So we have to cry like this man to God. We have to cry like this man to our Savior when he cried out in this, have compassion on us and help us. Help me, Lord, with what I have, what I face. Help me in my walk. Help me when I go somewhere or another and think that all have to receive the gospel and yet someone slams the door. Help me. When Satan begins to say, hey, it ain't no use to do that. You see, people are not going to receive it anyhow. We need this type of help in every phase of our life. As Christians, you see. There is no one else to go to. When God speaks, our questions end with answers. And there's no one else to go to. We who believe sometimes fall in distress. We who believe sometimes wrestle with great sorrow. We who believe sometimes get discouraged. We who believe are tossed on the sea of life. And we cry, God, help us, even in our unbelief. Help us, Lord. Teach us how to pray. Help us when we pray. And one thing I've found a lot of times in prayer, the best prayer in the world is put God on the throne first before you ask anything. Give Him honor and glory before you ask anything. When we come to Him with questions, He ends up giving us the right answer. And therefore, when we are in these conditions, we wrestle with these things, these sorrows. Sometimes when we do that, and here's the thing about it is, I guess sometimes a pastor bears himself open, but I don't go to other people with these things. I go to God. He understands. When I go to God and begin to lay out my distress, you say, I don't never get distressed. Well, let me ask your wife about it. I don't never get discouraged. Let me ask your husband about it. See, God sees what goes on the roof, not only just at church. Amen? I mean, just be honest, open. God sees what goes on the roof at home, not only just at church. So, you see, we do find ourselves in these situations, and God has an answer for that in this life. We cry out to Him, help us in our unbelief. And then we see this man had faith, but it was weak. We see that he believed. We as believers also have faith, and many times it's tried. And we have to ask the Lord to help us in our unbelief or help us in our condition. And then notice the third thing. Faith is our cup, but Christ is our foundation. I love this. Faith is our cup, but Christ is our foundation. A cup is needed to drink with, but you cannot drink out of if it's empty. You're fooling yourself. Faith is the finger which we touch the hem of His garment, like the young lady with the issue of blood. But here's the thing. The finger does not work the cure. I've got to understand that. There's people nowadays that have these garments. So I see not too long one had something that this lady's supposed to have on. They had little bells around the bottom and so forth. And they had that out. All you did was lay your hand on that. That's not where the healing was. Well, I said, well, touch his garment. Hey, it wasn't the garment that had healing. It was Him. It was Him. It may have been an act of faith, but there's no healing in the garment itself, you see. And so, the finger does not the work, the cure. Shall I refuse, though, to touch the hem of His garment because I have not washed the finger or don't have a golden ring on it or it has rheumatism in it? No. I should not refuse to touch it. I'm using a kind of allegoric way, touching as I call upon Him. just because there may be something on the finger or something wrong with the finger. It's an act of faith. Do not mind your finger, or do not mind your mind, or do not mind whatever you reach out with. Just touch him. Just touch him. Touch his heart through prayer. Come through the throne of grace boldly. Not with arrogance. He'll put you down if you do. Humbly come to the throne of grace. You come there by pleading the blood. You come there acknowledging I have no right there in myself, but because of the blood of Christ, I have all the right in the world to go to the throne of grace and pour my heart out to him. When I walk into his presence, I've not arrived as yet, and neither have you. And when I walk into his presence, I have to realize there are still some things wrong with this old flesh that I'm in. And therefore, I have to come to him as a child, humbly recognizing and acknowledging I don't know it all. And therefore, I come giving him honor and glory and praise. And at the time when something comes in my life, it don't come instantly, which he could do. Then I say, God, I know you can do anything. Please help me with my unbelief about this. Don't let a little unbelief here hinder me from what that is you're going to do for me. If this doesn't happen, Satan will never trap me to still distrust you. If what I asked you to do for me doesn't ever happen in this life, it will never cause me to distrust you. And if it does, please help me in my... That's what this father said. Boy, what an example. This thing's down to earth, folks. This thing's right down where we live at. It's not some just happy religious thing that we can claim and God's just waiting for us to claim. It is a life that God is telling us how to live so he can work in our lives as we respond to him. The greatness nor the perfection of our faith has no power in itself. It is his perfection, his holiness. It isn't his greatness that gives the effect, though he is great. I want you to know also, it's not his perfection, though he is perfect. I want you to know that we can trust Christ and know without a doubt that he has power because of who he is. And that makes him exceptional compared to anyone else. We came to Christ unholy. Then our faith in him produced holiness by him. If there is any holiness in you and I, it comes because our faith in Christ, he produces it in us as we walk with him in this life. Faith in him produces growth. Someone says, but you don't know. You know, I had a dream, or an angel, or if an angel came and spoke to me. Let me ask you something. Do you mean that you would accept such as that over the Word of God? I used to feel a little different, but I would not now. There's no way in this world I'd accept a dream or even a visit from something like an angel over the Word of God. The Word of God is the criteria. It's the basis. It's the fundamental. I believe this so strong in my life that this is all I need to know what I need to know about God until I can see him face to face. And one day that will happen. I don't require an angel from heaven to come by to assure me that God will keep his word. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. I believe that. 1 Timothy 1:15. I was a sinner. And I'm saved. Got saved. Now I'm a saved sinner. I trusted him to be saved. I trusted his word. I can trust this. I don't need an angel to come tell me that. I don't need an angel to come to tell me now after 48 years serving God that I won't just come by and tell you that God said he saved you. He don't have to visit me in a night, some night, and come to me and say, "Wake up, Charlie, I'm going to tell you something. God sent me down here to let you know you got it all, boy." No. And if I don't trust him, trust that for his talking to me about my heart and relationship to him, why should I trust him anything else other than what he says in his word? I trust him for his word for that, you see, and I trust him. I thought about his word is surer than all signs and wonders in this life. The world's looking for signs and wonders. His word is more sure than all signs and wonders in his life. I thought about, suppose there's a mouse going to get on the ark back when in Noah's day. And he stepped up to the ark, and the little mouse said, "I'm afraid. I've never been on an ark before. I'm afraid it might sink. There's not enough room on that big old ark for me. It just might sink." And then suddenly they stand at the plank and they see these two great big old elephants coming up. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Walk up the plank and get right on that ark. And when they get up on that ark, just everything, nothing happens. Nothing happens. Maybe the water began to rise. Those elephants got on that thing. It's not long before those mouse say, hey, that thing will hold you up. That thing's safe. We see the experience of that. At this particular time, it'll hold me. If there's room for us, if there's room for the elephant, there's room for us. The salvation of another oftentimes encourages us and encourages sinners to trust God, because they say, hey, if he can get in, I can. If God loved him or her, God loved me. Sometimes you have someone to say, I don't know if God would save me because you don't know my life. I don't have to know your life. God knows it. And if he knows it and will save you if you trust Christ, why should I even have to know it? I don't have to know your life. It's him. And they say, well, if God, sometimes someone says, well, God will save that person, he's certain to save me. Yes, sir. There's not anyone here saved to respond to by faith. I'm talking about the word if. This if here. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on it. If thou believe, canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible at this particular time. The worst cases are not helpless in Christ Jesus. So in Mark 9:22, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And this man said, I love this, I believe. Tears in his eyes, Lord, help my unbelief. What is he saying? Clear the shadows out of my eyes that keeps me from seeing. Disciples already have brought a hurt to my heart because they couldn't do it. Give me a clear knowledge. Give me a clear understanding. God, if you see anything, and this is a good prayer, if you see anything between me and you that would cause the unbelief, help me get rid of it. Or better still, can I confess it? Let there be a clear channel between me and you in this thing so I can get everything that God wants me to see in this situation of life. And such faith as that produces growth. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are not given to ye, but are possible for ye. And I like that. And I say, God, help us to be like this leopard, as I look at this man, though I find myself sometimes like this man with a dumb son. I don't have a son like that, but I'm finding things that this represents for me. Help us to be like the leopard. If thy will, thou canst make me clean. If thy, why do I say that? I've heard charismatics upon charismatics upon charismatics say, it's not if thy will. That's not the prayer, because that limits your faith. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If it's not God's will, it's not going to happen. Whether the person believes it or not. Until the time comes that God sees fit to reveal that. No, if thou canst do anything. If thou canst do anything. Help us. And then I like what Jesus did. He says, straightway the father, the child, cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people running to him, went on down further, he said to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more unto him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And this is an unusual thing that Jesus said to them. Then he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I don't care where you're at tonight. God is able. He's willing. But we have to submit to him. I want to be like the leopard in Mark 1:40. But I'm afraid many times as I go through life, I may come up with like the man here in Mark chapter 9. Because something has happened before that didn't turn out just like I thought it would. And now I still believe God, but because it didn't turn out but here, there's a little shaded air there. I can't quite get clear. And that's what I have to say to my Father. Help me. Help me understand it. Help me in this hour. Remove it so I hear a clear picture from you exactly what God's doing. And whether you do or don't, I'm still submitted to you. I'm still committed to you. My Father, I want to thank you tonight for this little word, if. Dear Father, I thank you so much as we look at words that you don't use words just to fill up a page. This is a conditional. It denotes uncertainty. And yet at the same time, bring out the realization of something that we don't have it all together as yet. I understand why the disciples came one day and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They'd heard Christ pray. They had prayed. They'd been praying all their life, probably as Jews. But there came a time in their life when walking with Christ, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus began to show that great example of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He shows us when Jesus prayed, he put God first, set him on the throne, give glory to him and honor before he ever asked anything as far as himself. And of course, Christ never asked anything for himself, except when he prayed, if it's possible, this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. The Lord, we realize, though, there's many things we come to the throne of grace, make our petitions to you. You tell us to do that unafraid before we're children of God. But we also understand that we're still human. We've not arrived yet. And I'm so glad I'm come to my Father. Put him in his rightful place. Walk in humbly in prayer. Plead the blood of Christ. And lay out my petitions. Lay out my troubles. Lay out my problems. And know that God heareth every word. And he can do beyond my imagination. But whether he does or don't, I'll be submitted to him. I'll be committed to him. Because I know who he is. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.